Okay, well, this is a, I'll call it a bonus edition, to coin somebody else's phrase, of the Forever Bristol City podcast. So it's 18 pages on this thread now. We want to talk about the signing of Danny Simpson, but the wider implications of that that aren't just restricted to Bristol City, but past crimes, and when do you expunge them from what is morally right or wrong. Joining me is my regular cohort on this, Ian. Ian, Danny Simpson, he's signed now for 8 games. Lots of hoo-ha about it. Let's look at it. We'll talk about football later, but let's look at, is it right that, you know, the club should sign somebody with a criminal record such as Danny Simpson has? That's the question.
Yeah. I think you can take it both ways, but I think you have to make a general decision to start with. The club either has a policy where it's the manager's choice, and this is Nigel Pearson's first signing.
Mm.
So if I was Nigel Pearson, I'd said, oh, I'm signing Danny Simpson. And the club would have said, no, you're not. How wanted do I feel? Now, if they then explain, well, we don't, we will not work with anybody or employ anybody who's got a record of, let's call it assault. Okay?
Yeah.
So if you say we get rid of, we get rid of the assault. If someone's convicted of assault, that means anybody. That means anybody that's had a punch-up in a pub, which we've all had when we were younger. We haven't all been arrested, it's true. But you could say that's a hard and fast rule. And it's as simple as that.
You just have zero tolerance. It's like zero tolerance to drink driving, something like that. Because, I mean, look, all this started to a point when, you know, the squeaky clean, because that's what they are, the squeaky clean image of Bristol Sport. Tell me I'm wrong, but Luke Ayling, right, he was not throwing urine at people at Cheltenham down in the crowd, but he was pictured with people who were, and tell me I'm wrong, but he was eased out of the club for the paltry sum of 200 grand because it didn't have a good look. Agreed? Yeah, would you say? That's a
there was a big hoo-ha at the time, but you've got to remember that Marlon Pack was there as well. And nothing much happened to Marlon Pack until he was then transferred to Cardiff. So, yeah.
But wasn't it the optics of it, though, Ian? Because the big face that was grinning, Marlon Pack, you're right, was there. The big face that was grinning was Luke. Right. And, you know, he was the man most visible. Yeah. And it's the look of the thing, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But if you look at some of the people that our Prime Minister has been photographed next to, where do you stop with guilt by association?
Yeah.
So you say, right, okay. You either say, right, if someone's committed an assault, we will not employ them. Okay, so that includes any. So if, let's say, for example, some of our younger players went out and got into a fight in town, let's say they go out, let's say it's Lewis Britton, Tommy Conway, bear in mind one of City's younger players did go out and I think did get sent to jail or got sentenced for kicking somebody in the head at a nightclub.
Mm.
Yeah? Now, you either... So they go out. Tyreek Backinson goes out with them. So does O'Mora Edwards. Somebody makes an makes a tasteless remark to some of our players. They all steam in. They have a fight with six other blokes. They all get nicked, and they all go to court, and they all get done. So it's either community service, imprisonment, or a fine. Are they all sacked, or do you say, well? Boys will be boys, but yeah. Danny Simpson,
Let's just park that a minute. Yeah, let's just park that a minute because, you know, boys will be boys. We have to go back only as far as 2005, and we had, what was it, Steve Brooker,
Scott Brown,
Bradley Orr, Scott Brown, and Dave Partridge. They were out being boys will be boys. Now, I don't think Dave Partridge ever played for the club again, but Steve Brooker and Bravers certainly did. But that was 15 years ago. And we do live in a different type of environment now, you know, where this cancel culture, there's 18 pages of debate on this with people putting both points of view on this. So even over 15 years, it's changed. And then you get to the situation, right? Because again, we are playing whiter than white. And there's nothing wrong in playing that because that's right. That's how it should be. Zero tolerance and be consistent. Yeah. What is the difference between Danny Simpson and somebody like Ched Evans in terms of the nature of the crime? Because Ched Evans is playing, he's never going to sign for us. So are we saying that what he did is worse than what Danny Simpson did?
Well, I haven't got the information in front of me, but as far as I remember with Ched Evans, he said he was having consensual sex with a few of his mates looking through the window. And the girl came out and said she'd been raped.
Yeah.
Now, I think I'm right in saying the sentence was then quashed on appeal. So, you know, so he was found, I think that means, and I'll stand to be corrected if anybody wants to text in, no, that's not the case, this is what happened. So he'd already done some time in prison, but he was then released, but I think he was found not guilty. I think that's true.
But he did time. So we would not have entertained signing him for what he did. Right? Well, and Lee here Johnson we are signing.
Hang on. Lee Johnson did when he was with it, Oldham. But then I think the powers that be, there was an outcry. And I think the powers that be said, no, you can't do it. And Lee, quite sensibly, kicked it upstairs and said, above my pay grade. Which I think it is. But the difference in this case is the girl that Simpson assaulted, and he doesn't deny it, although he pleaded not guilty, is now a therapist who's been working with him and his daughter. I don't know whether it's anger management issues or whatever, but she's been defending him on Twitter.
I've noticed that. So the victim.
She's a qualified therapist.
Yeah.
From what I can see from Twitter. I mean, obviously, I could go on Twitter and call myself, you know, the managing director of ICI. It doesn't make it so.
She is defended. So from that perspective, you know, in her mind, she's exonerated him from what happened, and it was 7 years ago. Yeah.
Well, I think it'd be better to, David, be better to say she's forgiven him.
Forgiven him. The law hasn't exonerated him because it's on the record. No, it's on the statute book.
It is on the record. And you could say, right, Nigel, I'm sorry, you can't sign him. He's got a conviction for a number of offences that we won't have. One is domestic violence. And the same thing applies to the ladies' team. If one of their players decides she's going to lay her husband out or gets taken to court, the same thing applies there. So I think you have to say, right, okay, so someone's committed a crime. Are they ever forgiven? Or do you say to Danny Simpson, who's all he's ever been from what I can see from his biography or whatever, all I can see is footballer. Danny Simpson's a footballer. Are you going to stop him from earning his living by saying, right, you can't play football anymore? That's it. You can't coach football because we don't want somebody like you around our kids training them because, you know, what sort of signals it's sending out. So I think there are a number of things to look at. You've got to look at the optics. Certain careers, if you are a policeman or a lawyer or anything to do with the legal profession, and you commit a crime, you lose your job.
Yeah. Well, I'm just looking, you've got to look at situations in the past, because I'm looking here on the internet now. We pick a, somebody's put together, not to do exclusively, in fact, Bristol City Armed Rangers at all, a mythical convicts 11, right? But the first one I come to that is worthy of note there is Tony Adam. He said Adams, already in England international, was sentenced for 4 months behind bars in December 1990 following a drink driving offence. Although he only served half of that sentence, problems with alcohol continued to haunt the commanding centre-half for many years to come. Yeah, Arsenal stuck by their man, and Adams will later skipper the side to do domestic troubles. Now, do you say he's doing driving offence? Well, that was boys being boys, you know. I mean, there's another one on here. Is drink driving accepted? Even the new Rovers manager, it says here, I'm reading this off paper, the 33-year-old has been sentenced to 2 jail sentences in the past, equating to a total of 10 months, while he only ever served 77 days behind bars. His reputation as one of football's bad boys has been cemented. These are facts. You know, if you have a policy, if you have a policy of zero tolerance, I mean, let's take a hypothetical example looking forward. In fact, no, before I do that, let's look back. Look at the recent situation regarding Stokes, a cricketer. Now, he was not convicted. He got off with a charge of a fray. But you just wonder whether, had he not been who he was in that incident in Bristol that evening and the undertones that that punch-up was about, do you think if it had been you or me did exactly the same as him, we probably would have been done for a fray. So it's all people are equal, but some are more equal than others. Would you agree?
And that's always been the case. And I'm not saying it should be, but it is.
You know, what about here's another one here. Here's another one here. Mickey Thomas, you know, money laundering. You know, I mean, he didn't.
Yeah, yeah, Mark Hazelwood's been inside recently.
He's been inside recently because he was convicted to do with training contracts, I think, for young apprentices. Don't think it's football related. I think it's government funded apprenticeship schemes. But no, I read that relatively recently.
Well, Michael Makindo in some trouble.
Ponzi system for Michael Makindo.
Yeah,
but the thing is, I was going to say, looking forward, let's look at this looking forward. Let's say we get to the end of the season and the players go out for a booze up or something like that, right? And our most prized asset, that Dan Bentley, who's quite a lad, probably wouldn't say boo to the goose, but he goes out and somebody says, oh, you know, you're not the player you were because you made a few rickets, and he lamps somebody, and he is done for a fray or something like that. What's the club's policy going to be on that? You know, should it be gross misconduct if you commit if you commit and are found guilty of committing a crime when you're on the books of the club, regardless of what that crime is?
I think all the club can do at that point, if it happens when someone's already employed, is treat every case on its merits. So, for example, you mentioned drink driving. Now, drink driving to me is absolutely abhorrent, but it's not as abhorrent as beating a woman up, or beating anybody up for that matter, but I would say particularly a woman. And when you read some of the circumstances around it, it sounds like they'd been out, they'd had a bit too much to drink, he'd bought her a very expensive pair of shoes, he said she didn't deserve them, and they had a ruck. Now, whilst I think that is incredibly childish and a bit ridiculous, it happens. People go out with their wives and then someone says something, and then everything that hasn't been said in 15 years gets said in 15 minutes.
Mm.
And it particularly, you know what they say, when the drink's in, the wit's out. So I can see it happening. He's not the first guy that's done it. I'm not justifying it before anybody goes on a massive Twitter rant about it. I'm not justifying it. I'm explaining that it happens, and it has happened a lot. Perfect example, I was in a relationship with a girl who I pissed off thoroughly. I know you'll find that difficult. And she threw a red hot cup of coffee over me.
Yeah. Now,
I was probably screaming my head off and in too much pain to hit her, but some blokes would.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you say, well, that any violence is unjustified. But any violence, it's not, because if someone breaks in your house and tries to rape your wife and you smash them over the head with a baseball bat, is that unjustified?
No, if you hit them over the head and knock them out, you'd probably get away with it. But if you hit them over the head and beat them up into a pulp, you used undue force. I mean, it's all degrees. Here's another one. Now, here's an interesting one. I'm just reading this. This is off the Felons 11. Troy Deeney, right? Troy Deeney, in 2012, a Watford striker was handed a 10-month imprisonment for which he served three for his involvement in a street fight in Birmingham. Deeney has openly conceded that jail was the best thing for his career, and his performances with the Hornets since returning in September that year have been nothing short of sensational. He has shown remorse for his actions, but the person putting this together, but he still deserves a place in the team. Troy Deeney is somebody that could well be on the radar for us in the summer as a replacement for Pham. Would there be the same outcry were he to join? I think not. It's the nature of the crime, isn't it, really? That's what we're talking about here.
Well, yeah, I mean, it depends if it's a crime against the person or a crime full stop. And at what point do you say, I can understand if someone was done for anything to do with paedophilia and they wanted to be an academy coach, right?
Like Barry Bennell, if he came out.
Exactly.
After,
Yeah, exactly. And he's in jail. So I totally get that. If you wanted someone to work in the finance department and they were a convicted fraudster, I can absolutely understand why you wouldn't do that. But the trouble is there's lots and lots of grey areas.
Here's another one, right? Look, the crime of manslaughter. And let's look at this, you know, manslaughter. If somebody committed manslaughter, and then they...
And footballers that have the goalkeeper, Luke.
Oh,
Luke
something. Yeah, and there was a centre forward for West Brom, wasn't there, who killed that bloke in a car accident, balded bloke. You know the one I'm talking about, big guy up front for West Brom. Can't remember his name now. Yeah. Was he playing for somebody else at the time? He came back and played, right? And you then really have to say, you know, do prison sentences rehabilitate people? And then
that's not football related.
Look what happened in London with the bloke who was at the rehab, put up as a moral of rehab, and then went up stabbing everybody.
Yeah,
you know, it's a difficult area.
Exactly that. And when you get, it's very easy to say it quick, right? Bristol City shouldn't employ anybody who's got an offence that includes assault, whether it's against a woman, a man, they just shouldn't.
Yeah.
So, but that is a very, very sweeping statement. Now, it's very easy when you say it quick. It's also very easy when you don't have to go into a court of law and justify it.
Yeah.
Because the minute you start, somebody will come up with 15 circumstances in which you didn't do it.
Yeah.
So they'll say, right, what it is, you're prejudiced against that guy. You're just doing it because it's him.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, I've known so many people go into court with what they consider to be an open and shut case based on the facts. And a number of those, their success rate has been no better than 50-50.
Yeah.
Because there's knowing it, there's proving it, there's thinking it. And he did this and he did that. Well, okay, what witnesses have you got? Now, the case of Danny Simpson, he's convicted. He got sentenced to community service. He did that one way or another. I've heard about, you know, the ankle tag, and he got let off some community service because people were turning up and taking pictures of him doing it and one thing and another. So he's done it. He served his sentence, his penance, if you want to call it that. And he that was 6 years ago.
Yeah.
6 years ago. And he's now he's now a reformed character, right?
Well, it could have been, as you say, it was that 15 years of irksome comes out in 15-minute discussion, and he had a fuse. I mean, he wasn't with her for 15 years, but, you know, has he done anything else in his life, which we don't know, where he's shown any violent tendencies or something like that? And as you said, the person who was a victim there is now supporting him in a way that suggests that it was a crime that he committed because it was witnessed by a police person who, you know, brought the prosecution. I'm sure she did, maybe at the time. Yeah, I don't know who did that, but if a policeman was there, you know, at what point? I mean, again, you know, you look at violence, look at the situation with Caroline Flack and her boyfriend. You know, how did that, you know, the police, he was prepared to walk away from that. The police, they prosecuted her, didn't they? Yeah, I think, if I read that correctly.
And then she committed suicide.
I know, because of the effect on it's just.
But I'll come back to the fact that everybody at the City Ground, or virtually everybody, is saying we need to give Nigel Pearson a contract and we need to get him signed up.
Let's talk about that now. Let's look at the footballing. Let's look at the footballing thing to do with this, because the fact of the matter is, right? There's 8 games to go. Yeah, we ain't going down, right? Physically not going down. Wait a minute.
You're saying we're not going down. We need 2 more wins to be sure out of those 8 games.
But okay, just based on our the way we're playing at home, but just based on our average points per game over the last 3 months, not including the first half of the season, the points per game, we've got just enough in the tank to get up. And Jack Hunt isn't that bad. He's not playing like a guy that wants away. I mean, this is my theory, and I might have said this to you before we started recording this. My theory on this is that was two aspects to it. Let's take the playing side of it. For me, the playing side is, right, that Jack Hunt has no future here, right, and he's probably one player that he wouldn't be offered a contract. So Nigel Pearson has got access to this player who he knows, and he could be bringing him in for an 8-game contract with a view to having him here next season as a player coach. And he might be helping Danny Simpson, because he was under Danny Simpson when all this stuff kicked off. He might be helping Danny Simpson prolong his playing career by 1 year, but also get his coaching badges next year. And the upside as well is that if he plays him in this last 8 games of the season, he can have a man on the pitch in a position where he can feel how those players perform in a very different way to even Nigel Pearson can, looking from the bench. So is this step one in bringing in a player who can add value in terms of Nigel Pearson's assessment of what he's got, and could save a wage next season by being one of the replacements if Simpson or Downing or both aren't kept on? So answer that one, Ian. We'll talk about the Mark Ashton and transfers in a moment, but can you see the logic in that suggestion that he's here with a view to something permanent going forward?
Well, you've got to look at it and say at 34, it's not a move for the long term, unless, as you say, he's going to be a coach. He is, from what I can remember of seeing him at Newcastle and at Leicester, he's a good player.
He's better than Jack Hunt.
Well, he's played at a higher level than Jack Hunt. I mean, I'm a great believer in doing something quite old-fashioned, which is seeing a player play and then judging, rather than judging on and the other people I listen to are the fans. Never listen to ex-managers and coaches, because, you know, they've got a bit of an axe to grind either way sometimes. But fans will normally give you a pretty decent appraisal of how good somebody is. And the Leicester fans say he was a decent player.
And the Huddersfield fans last season said he was instrumental in keeping them up, although he tired in matches towards the end of it. That's what I read.
Which he would do. He's 34, and you've got him. He's 34. You've got Mariapu, who's 34, and you think, well, how many of those players do you need? But what Pearson's alluded to is that you need experience at certain times in games, and players like Tyreek and Noah, Antoine Semenyo, don't necessarily give you that experience. They give you legs. They give you energy. But their game management won't be as good as somebody like Simpson or even Jack Hunt or Tommy Rowe. Yeah. So I think he could be looking to get his coaching badges, or he could be thinking, well, if I can do these 8 games and get fit, it might set me up for a move with a League One club It depended on what level he's capable of playing at. And I haven't seen the guy play, but for everything that I read from fans, they've all said he's a decent footballer, but he's not at his peak purely because he's 34 years old.
Yeah.
And not many players are. You know, you might get the old goalie who's peaking in their 30s, but I'm talking about outfield players. And particularly, I don't think he could play in the Prem, but that you could probably say that for every player at our club.
Yeah.
With the possible exception of Dan Bentley. So I am, from a football point of view, it's only for 8 games. Where's the problem? I think I haven't heard anybody say.
What about match fitness, though? You know, because, match fitness, and if you say he's in to secure the points that we need, right? We've got 2 games mm-hmm. coming up. Easter's a critical time. We've got a tough home game against Stoke. Yeah, and then I don't know who we're playing Monday. You probably know, Ian.
Coventry.
So we got two games coming up. Do you think he will start in either, or do you think he'll be on the bench for both?
I think it depends who's fit. We don't know that Jack Hunt hadn't been carrying a knock, and that is something that could come out. My guess is he'd probably start on the bench. And Pearson, I don't think, if Pearson thought it was going to take a couple of months to get him fit, I don't think he'd be here. And he might be training with us, but he wouldn't get a contract. So I think he is fit.
He's not playing.
Well,
he
has, Dave. He was training at Leicester and playing some games for the under 23s.
Was he? So he has kicked a ball.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So, I mean, and, you know, Pearson's not a mug, is he? If the kid's not fit or he can only do 20 minutes, then he'll only get to do 20 minutes.
No, he's not going to play.
Yeah.
So, from
a football point of view, I haven't got a problem. If they want to give him another contract next year, we'll have to see. But Pearson is alluding more to experience than youth. He's not saying he's not going to play younger players, but at the moment, I think he thinks we've got the balance wrong and we've got too many youngsters. And I think he's probably right.
Yeah. Okay, let's look at the other side of it then. There's the football piece. I mean, the football, it doesn't fit in with this 5 pillars, saleable assets, but then it's not. It's an 8-week contract, blah, blah, blah. But then we've got Pearson going permanent, and, you know, the ongoing silence of Mark Ashton. I mean, because this signing, it's not something that you could see Ashton, based on past performance, sanctioning, because every other signing we've made as a club, he's usually there with his face all over it. Do you think this is Pearson trying to see how the land lies for this permanent contract? So if they said no, he might have thought,
No, I don't think that comes into it, Dave. I think that's a bit of a conspiracy theory. It's a bit daft. I think, for example, when people talk about, it's going to cost us extra money, well, Mawson's gone back to Fulham. So unless we're already paying his wages, we'll be paying Danny Simpson a third of what we were paying Alfie Mawson. And we were paying Alfie Mawson 25 grand a week.
So he's gone back. Yeah, so that's
that's a saving. That's how we fit him in the squad. I'm assuming that we don't have to pay his wages for the rest of the season. I hope, or we've done some kind of deal with Fulham where that's the case, because he's not fit, Mawson, and he can't play. It's not like he's going to go back to Fulham and, you know, put a few games.
We could have dropped Andreas Weimann out of that squad as well, and maybe even Jamie Patterson, or even Tommy Rowe, or even.
I think it's easier. Well, you've got to remember, Mawson's a loan player. They're under permanent contracts, so it would be difficult to do it. And the other thing is, a lot of our younger players aren't in that 25-man squad. They're in the under-23 squad.
Right.
So, and that includes Masengo. So Masengo, Bakinson, Semenyo, Bell, Conway, Britton,
Towler.
Would be in the under 23 squad, and the senior squad are obviously the older players. Because Zach Viner's in the senior squad, and I think he's only 23. So I think it saves us having Simpson there. Let's say we want to play Jack Hunt in one game and then give Simpson, then give him a rest and play Simpson in the other one. We've got two games coming up on a Friday and a Monday. You could start Simpson in one and Hunt in the other.
Yeah, or you could give them half a game each.
Yeah, I suppose you could, but you have to see how that goes. So I don't see it as a bad sign-in for 8 weeks from a football perspective with the injuries we've got, and we've got way too many. We don't know about Kalas yet. My guess is that Kalas will be back, but it may not be for a couple of weeks more. And my other guess is that we won't see Callum O'Dowd again this season if he's done a hamstring. So you've got injuries coming round again. We don't seem to be able to get players fit and keep them fit. And I'm not suggesting I know the reason. I'm just stating it as a fact. Yeah. So I don't think bringing in an experienced defender with a Premier League background is a bad thing. And I think most people seem to have made up their mind from a perspective you should never employ someone who's been done for domestic abuse. And that's a perfectly valid position to have. Yeah. And you've got other people saying, give the bloke a chance.
Yeah.
And he's a reformed Peter, character.
Peter has posted up, which I've seen the tweet, but I've got it here to read now. This is Stephanie Ward, who was the lady who was the victim in the domestic assault. And she's
the mother of his child.
And the mother. Well, she's put up, we are so proud of Danny Simpson and his move to Bristol City. Sky, which is his daughter, has loved training with her daddy these past few months and seeing how hard he has worked, not just in football, but in all areas of his life. It's all for her future. I think, you know, if you read that, doesn't make what he did right at all. Yeah. Doesn't make what he did right at all, but it shows that, you know, you've got to give people a second chance. And it's as simple as that. Would you agree with that, Peter? Would you agree with Peter's comment, Ian?
Well, I think if I would listen to Stephanie Ward above anyone else, because she was involved in it. And if she's prepared to forgive the man, and she's not excused it in anything she said that I've seen, and Nigel Pearson spoke to her before he took him on.
Yeah.
So I would defer to Stephanie's judgment.
Yeah.
If she had come out and said no one should go near him with a barge pole, he's a violent lunatic.
Yeah.
Then I'd have said no, don't sign him. And I'm absolutely convinced Nigel Pearson would have said that as well.
Yeah. So really, all those people that have been moralising on it, you've got to read that tweet. And it's not somebody who, she's not living with him now. So you can't say, like a lot of people in those sort of relationships, they always say everything's all right. She didn't have to say that. And as I say, that shows that acceptance that somebody can be a better person over time. I mean, it's interesting. I think I heard this rightly, and Peter's put this in on the text. Haven't Bristol Bears signed Danny Cipriani? Coming up?
Gloucester. It's Bath, isn't it? No, it's Bath.
Is it one of them? Sorry. Bath, right. I think it's got a powerful pass, hasn't it? Yeah, but I don't think it extends to anything like violence or anything like that. I don't think so. But there we go.
Well, it doesn't, but how far back, you know, how far back do you want to go?
I know.
And, you either then go, you've got to be very careful. If you turn somebody down for a job because they've got a criminal record and that doesn't bear any relevance to what they, that doesn't bear any relevance in terms of, you then got to look at the crime. So if let's say, I don't know, when I was doing a major interim turnaround that I was doing, I sacked some blokes for shoplifting. Now, I know for a fact they went straight up the road and got a job with another company doing the same thing. Not shoplifting, what we were doing, civils.
Yeah, yeah. So, but they were prepared to turn a blind eye to it.
Well, it's not a question they turned a blind eye to. They didn't care, and they were desperate for labour.
Exactly.
And that's where a lot of companies get to. If you're absolutely desperate for people, I've been in that situation before with mechanics and people that were very, very difficult to get hold of, skilled people. And, but there does come a point where you say enough's enough. And we had a zero tolerance policy to people committing criminal offences whilst in our employment.
Yeah.
I don't mean speeding or something like that. I'm talking about drug taking, selling drugs, and anything you can go to court and get. Fined for. You can get put away for speeding, or you put away for motoring offences. So, like I said, it's very difficult where you draw this line, and if it's in assaults against the person, then okay, you can understand that. So anybody's been convicted from assault from now on or previously 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people do you know that got caught up in something 20, 25 years ago?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're saying, well, sorry, mate, but you can't work for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
It's a bit, you know, it's one of those things. I think it's very difficult, and I think I can see it from both points of view.
Yeah.
And probably if I was a woman, I might feel slightly differently. But I think any violence against anybody is wrong. It's excusable if you, like the situation we said about using reasonable force if you or your family are
under threat
or in jeopardy. You know what our American friends call a clear and present danger.
Yeah.
But if you, then that's excusable. But if you go through all these laws, it's very, very difficult say, well, you know, when's it okay to shoot somebody, for example, assuming you've got a gun. And people think in the States you can shoot people whenever you, well, you can. You know, in some states, yeah. In other states, don't you dare.
No, I know.
So I think I can understand everyone's opinion. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. And it's up to the club and Nigel Pearson to make a statement to say that we believe in rehabilitation. We believe in a second chance. And we're giving the bloke a go. We're listening to exactly what you say. And it wouldn't be a preference, but we're going to let Danny prove his point. And he's got to go in and prove his point. Because if he's a terrible player, it won't matter how many convictions he's got or anything else. He'll get absolutely destroyed.
Yeah, no, absolutely right. Ian, one final point. We said in our last pod after the last game, the international break was the time to get Pearson tied down. He's making all the right noises that it would suggest that he sees he has a future here. Will you be concerned if he isn't signed up after the two Easter games in that week? What point do you get concerned?
I think we get to the end of the season and he still hasn't signed. Then at that point, I'd be wondering why. Because if you look at his record at the moment, his record is kind of middling, really. You know, if Lee Johnson or Dean Holden had that record, I think I worked out if you had the record over a season, you'd finish on 66 points, which is kind of where we've been over the last few seasons. If you look at where the club was in terms of run of defeats, performances, injuries when he came in, you give him a bit more latitude. And people were marking him out of 10 on some of the forums and Twitter, and the average was somewhere between 5 and 7.
Yeah.
So I think we need to see what he does over the next 8 games, but probably over the next 4. And then Steve Lansdowne has got to say, right, I'm happy to give this bloke a 3-year contract, make him manager and fund it, because Steve's going to have to fund it. The money's not... But also, you see, you want to sell season tickets. And I don't think a lot of fans, me included, I won't be buying a season ticket until I know who the manager is going to be.
Well, until you know who the manager's be, because it has to be Pearson or better, because if the now available Alex Neil or Colin Appleton are announced, yeah, Michael Appleton, that isn't going to do anything for season ticket sales. So it's Pearson or bust from that point of view, isn't it?
Unless you could get somebody like Eddie Howe or possibly if Steve Bruce loses his job at Newcastle, you want someone who's been there, seen it and done it.
Of course.
We can't afford... We the last two guys we've had, as I've said many times, and I've nothing against them personally, but neither of them had a CV that should have got them an interview, never mind a job.
Yeah, you're right there. Good show.
That's where I'm coming from on that.
Great. Yeah. Well, I think we've covered it off. I'm glad we've been able to read out that tweet from Stephanie Ward. Let's wait and see what we do over the remaining eight games. If we could get a point a game over the next eight games, that would be nice. If we could win a couple of home games, that would be good. Getting Pearson signed on a 3-year contract is what everybody's looking toward. And it'll be interesting to see if City do a nice deal on season tickets when they come out. I see Swansea have done up to 39% off their prices for next season. But
I can't see City cutting anything off their prices if they give Pearson the job. And Steve Lansdowne's rationale is going to be, we've all got to put our hands in our pockets because we're going to make a thumping great loss this season. And
30 million.
If you want decent players down here, then I'm sorry, you've all got to chip in. Now, you know, I can't, from a business standpoint, I can't argue with that. I can understand why some people say, well, hang on a minute, I lost my job, I can't buy my season ticket and all the rest of it. But, I get both arguments, but I could totally understand it because if Steve Lansdowne said, well, okay, look, we'll do the season tickets half price. We'll try and sell twice as many. But if we can't, I'm afraid we won't be able. We'll have to let all these players go, and we'll have to play the youth team.
Yeah,
you know, people aren't going to want that.
No, they're not. Ian, look, good to talk on a Sunday and get your views. As I say, it's up to 18 pages of comment on OTIB. Some people have put it's not a football-related matter. It should be on a different forum. Well, it's football-related. But it's to say there's no right definitive answer that's going to satisfy everybody. Have a great rest of Sunday, Ian. And we'll be speaking after the Stoke City game, which is on Good Friday. So good to talk to you about this very contentious topic, I think is the one to describe it. Have a good day.
Just a quick one on Stephanie Ward. She withdrew her statement and didn't support his prosecution, but the judge didn't take that into account, and she sentenced him anyway.
Interesting.
And I think sometimes, you know, there's a lot happens in the heat of a moment. He was completely and utterly wrong to do what he did, but she's forgiven him. So I think my view is, if Stephanie Ward can forgive him and she was the victim, then she clearly, from what it doesn't look like, she's doing that under any duress. I would hope that the rest of us would give the bloke a chance.
And you say she's not done under duress, because if she did that, what you said 7 years ago, and she's saying that now, that's it. I mean, look, we can all remember that image. That's going back about that same length of time of, Nigella Lawson and her then husband outside a restaurant in Mayfair with his arm round her neck, not in an aggressive way. Maybe, maybe not. We don't know. But, you know, Look at the optics of it again. But there we go. Ian, good to talk. Let's talk football next time. And hopefully it'll be a much overdue City win. Have a good day. All right? Cheers.
Good luck, Dave. Bye-bye.
Bye, mate.